Today's daf is daf Kuf Beis, so we just got to the Mishnah, the beginning of the parak on Kuf Aleph from Reb Beis. Mishnah told us about different situations of making agreements, having to support stepdaughters. The wife had daughters from previous marriage and got remarried, and the husband takes upon himself a responsibility to continue to support those daughters. So the Gemara begins down the bottom of Kuf Aleph from Reb Beis, Itmar. Ha'omer l'chaveiro chayv ani l'chamano. Somebody says to his friend, I owe you $100. So what's the halacha? Does he have to pay up the money? Is that his chayvus? Is he admitting to owing money? So Rabbi Yochanan omer chayv rishlach v'shmer pater to machlokas. Hey chidami, what's the case here? Ida amar lehem atem edai. If he says to, you know, the people there, the guy who I owe money to, I say, you're my aid, you're my witness and I owe you money. So my time with rishlach v'shmer pater, why would anybody say you're pater in that case? So just look at Rashi for a second. So Rashi says, Idamarluhu, the beginning of the Gemara here, Idamarluhu his shomim. If he says to the ones who are observing what's going on, Atem Eidai, you who are listening here, you're going to be the witnesses, Shani Modilo. You're the Eidim that I admit I owe money. My time with Reish Lakish Tepater, Ha Anon Tanam Besanhedrin, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Daf Chavtes, Ad She Yomu Bifneinu, Hodilo, Alma Hodu Bifnei Eidim Chayyad. The Gemara there says, your person's a chayiv when he makes a hodah, unless he says it in front of other people. So here, if there were other people who were around and he admits owing money, so why would Reish Lakish say pater? Everyone would agree that you would be chayiv to pay money if you admit to owing money in front of other edim. So it rather must be, idilo amalahu atam edai, if he does not say those who are listening, you are my edim, he doesn't specify edim at all. So my time with Rabbi Yochanan, the kemachayiv, then even Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't think you're chayiv if you don't specify edim, because the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us you have to specify atam edai, you are going to be my edim.
But isn't the hodas bazin kemei edim dami?
So I guess we're learning from here that it's only in the context of edim. Hodah without kinyan, or a hodah without edim is not enough. I guess that's the point it's saying.
No, hadas baldin kemei aidim dam. Meaning that
right, you're saying that self is.
I don't see why not.
I'm trying to remember that Gemara there.
Didn't see number 11. That doesn't say anything. Maybe it goes on like that. Let's see what Gemara says.
Right, so it says here that the guy could be tricking him. He'd be playing games with him and just teasing him. So I'm not how that sure that works exactly, but it all...
Oh, it seems from the Lashon.
Hodas Baldin Kamei Edim Dami, that's only in the context of Bezdin, I think. Only in Bezdin that works. This is talking about outside of Bezdin.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the difference.
So let's say there are two guys here, and he says, I owe you $100.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two people, in front of two people.
He tells them, and he says, you guys are the witness.
If he says you're the witnesses, right. Everyone
so
agrees you owe.
So that's a question. If he says you guys are witness, then everybody agrees that
you owe. And if he doesn't specify the witnesses, then everyone would agree you're pater. It's not in Bezin, so it's not Hodas Baldin Kamei Edim, and it's not...
Okay.
The Gemara says, so what's the case where there's a machlokas, whether you're chayv or pater? So Gemara explains, Liolam deloka mar lehem atem edai. It's a situation where he does not specify that you were edim.
So, because what happens is he probably afterwards denies it.
Right, that's what Rashi said. The Tosis rather says something like that.
He probably, two guys, he says, listen, I owe you $100. And then, in front of two guys, without anything. And then the guy, 2 days later, goes to Basin and says, you know what, he owes me $100, and he just admitted it.
And he says, I was just teasing you.
Right, so that's the case, okay.
So Gemara says, so what's the scenario where Reish Lakish and Reuchan actually argue? So Gemara says, Liolam lilo kamar lahu atam edai. It's really a situation where he did not specify Edom. He just said in front of other people that he owes Reuven $100. He says, I owe you money in a shtar, that there was once a shtar written. And I owe you money, that where's a shtar, we don't know, but it's lost, but he admits to having the shtar, so what's the difference here? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, chayiv, you're chayiv here, because when you say that it was a shtar, alima milsa, the shtara kiman damarlu atem edai damim. Alima milsa, these words are strong enough, when you specify that it was in a shtar, it's as if you had appointed those people who are observing the case here as edim.
It seems according to Tosu that he actually writes the hodah on a היינו, הדיבור של ההודעה לא נאמר בפיו, אלא נכתב בשטר. It seems that Tosfos has a problem.
Right, so if you see Rashi there, Rashi says, Li'olam de lo amar lehu, atem edai, v'hachav ma'askin b'shtara.
Right.
That he handed over a document in front of us, because of Bo, he wrote in it, Ani chai v'chamana, I owe you $100. The Afa Pirashi says more, Shekasav yada, ksav yada hu hol v'lo chasim pater. Even though when a person writes his own handwriting and his own signature that he's chayiv, and it wasn't signed, he's pater. Oh, so even though his own signature, that it's an IOU, there's room to say you're pater since no one signed off on this. So he wrote, so it's what you're saying, he wrote in a document that I owe you money. He wrote it down and gave it to the guy. So writing in a document, it says Rabbi Yochanan, that as if he told the people watching that you are the Edim, and Rish Lakish Amar Pater, Lo Alima, Bilsa Deshara, the writing in the document that I owe you money is not as if they appointed them Edim along the way. So that's the Machlokas. So the Gemara says, quotes from our Mishnah as a Raya or a question. Quote to the bottom of Kuf Alf and Beis, Tanan Hanose Saisha, a person who marries a wife, Upaske Mola Zunes Bito, and he was willing to support his now new stepdaughter for Chameshanim for 5 years, Chayv Lazona, Chameshanim, he has an obligation now to support her for 5 years. So my love, is it not talking about Kiya Gavna, this very situation, which Rashi, the last Rashi on the page says, my love, Kiya Gavna. What testimony does the wife have or the daughter have that, oh, you owe me 5 years of pay? Is it not this case? Where the husband gave over a document to the daughter in front of Edom. That the Reuven, the stepfather, has taken upon himself to support this daughter. There is no Edom who signed off on the document. There is no Kinin Chalipin that was transferred. It was just, here's a piece of paper. If it's a star that has written signatures, that's Pashat. She has every right to collect her 5 years. So what's the case? The Chiddush, the Mishnah must be that he gave her a document that I owe you 5 years, but it was never signed off on. And that's, we see from the Mishnah, in support of Rabbi Yochanan, that it is binding. Giving a document that is not signed, that he gives over, admitting to pay money, that's as if there were Edim who were present.
Why would they think that, right?
Why would they think that's the case of the Gemara? The Mishnah? Because if it's talking about a real star with Edom on it, so of course, why should that be? Of course you're chayv to pay for 5 years. There's no different than any other star.
Because he divorced her.
But once, if the star doesn't specify that only when we stay married, that's the end of the Mishnah. Just simply, I owe you 5 years. So he owes her 5 years. So it must be a chiddush that even if there no Edom.
This stuff was never, that had nothing to do with the ksuba. It wasn't written in the ksuba.
Correct.
The daughter.
I don't think
it's
so.
A separate shah,
right. So Gemara Nishi wanted to use our Mishnah as a raya for Rabbi Yochanan that, again, handing over an IOU without signatures of Edom, it's going to be good enough to mechayiv him to pay. So Gemara says, Lo, not true. Bishtari psikasa. Tomashtari psikasa. Uchtav Gidel, Damrav Gidel, Amarav, Kama Ata Nosein Levincha, Kach Vakach, Kama Ata Nosein Levitcha, Kach Vakach. When the parents, the families, the fathers of the Chas and the Kala are getting together, trying to make arrangements, how much money are you going to give your daughter, how much money am I going to give my son? And we have a Shidduch here, so they make that agreement, they write the document called Shtar Psikasa, Omdu, they stand up, Vikichu, they get married, Kanu, Hein Hein Dvar Maniknan Bar Mira. So even though there's a document that was never signed by Edom necessarily, but they agreed upon it, and they wrote it in a document, and they get married, that is going to be binding. Here too also, this is Shtar Psikasa. When this man was getting married to this woman now, with her daughter, so they said they agreed upon giving each other...
It's written in a shtar, or it's just verbal?
I believe it's written in a shtar, but it's binding. It's going to be, even though there's no signatures of Edom, it's going to be binding since these are examples, it can be, I guess... Because giving it in front of other people, a document in front of other people, it makes him as if there was a teme dai, as if there were edim there. So look at the top Rashi. Rashi says, "Lo b'sharp tikasa hachasin v'akala poskin tanaim shebeinim." This is the tanaim that we talk about. That's governing the chasin stish. They talk about how much money to give each other b'fnei edim. They do this all in front of edim. V'ha'edim chosmin edus gemura, and the edim actually sign it. So this is actually where there are edim. So Rashi asks the obvious question: well, if there's signatures on the star im tomer im kein ma'ale meimer, what's the chiddush here? It shouldn't be any different than any other star where there are edim. So what's the chiddush of a star tikasa? So Rashi explains, Itzterich kigon deleka kinin el devarim, v'ashminan kedav gidal delo baikinim. What he's teaching us here is, even if there's a document, one would have thought when you hand over the shtar, you also need a kinyan. Kamashmalan, you don't need a kinyan here. Since everything's written in the shtar, and the Edom are signing on the shtar, once they get married, everything's binding. Right, that's the chiddush here. You don't need a kinyan aside from the shtar. Right. Now, let's say, for example, I'm giving you a... I want to sell you a chair. So I give you a document that this is yours. You have the title now. But we never made a transaction, never made a kinyan lifting up or transferring of money. I just gave you a shtar. So it won't good. But here we're saying that it is good enough, and this situation is good enough, because since it's being done in front of other people, it's going to be...
Is that what's called shtar psikasa in general?
Yeah.
Psikta.
Psikta, okay.
So it's not really a shtar. Or it is a shtar. It's written, but it's not signed.
But Rashi says it actually is signed.
It is signed, right.
But there's no kinyan at all.
Nine, right, okay.
But they say here, if Gidal says it will work, even though there's no actual kinyan, it's going to work. So there's a machlokes exactly how this works, and what the reason is working on a deraisa level, working on a derabanan level. So the Nodi Bihuda says that it's only working on a derabanan level. This is special takanas chachamim. They allow this to work. Now, even though in general a shtar without a kinyan won't be effective, here's a special takanas chachamim that they said is going to work. Others think it works midiraisa. The Chazon Ish writes that it works actually like kinyan kesef. He says the hana that they get from each other, the responsibility of paying money that they're going to get from these this sharp sikta, it's as if it's a kinyan kesef that they're receiving. And even though there's no actual transfer of a money, but the hana that they're receiving is as if there's kinyan kesef, and therefore works on a deraisa level. Okay. So Gemara now says Tashma, kasef l'kohen shani chayv l'cha chamesh shloim. Person writes to a Kohen, he had a son who was a firstborn son, Chiva Pidon HaBen. So he's supposed to give five Shloim, in the Midrash, you have to give five Shloim to the Kohen. So he writes instead on a document, I owe you five Shloim. Chai Litan Lechamish Shloim.
We're going back to the original case that somebody...
a star...
We're going back to the case where the guy is mode on the mezuzah in front of the people?
He's mode in a shtar. If he's mode in a shtar, will that work?
Okay.
So we've been assuming that's the machlokes Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Our new understanding is when you write a IOU in a shtar without signatures, is that going to be binding? So the Gemara here quotes in Brice that says, Kasav l'kohen shani chayv l'cha chamesh shloim. I'm writing to the Kohen, I owe you five shloim. Chay litain l'cha chamesh shloim. He obligates himself to give five shloim. But his son isn't nifteh, he's not padoy. Very strange. He owes five shloim anyways, midiraisa, because he has to be podesam. He writes in the document just to make sure that he carries through. So the Gemara says he has to pay the five shloim, but his son isn't podes. So it's very strange what's going on here. So it sounds like from here, let's look at least in the Havamina. Rashi doesn't explain the Havamina here. But the Gemara explains the answer is so. We see at least he's chai five shloim. Forget Pidyon HaBen right now. Right. So it's a new obligation. He has to pay five shloim to the Kohen for his son. He writes in a document, I owe you five shloim. We're viewing this as an independent and new chiv now. But why he only wrote in a shtar, I owe you, must be like Rabbi Yochanan, that when you write an I owe you in a shtar, even without signatures, it's going to be binding.
But it seems that he doesn't specify that this is for the
No, sure, he doesn't specify.
He does not.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
If he did, then the whole thing
right.
wouldn't be the case.
So
then the Gemara says no.
So
we see it's clear that it is binding. Writing in a shtar is going to be binding. That I owe you in a shtar without signatures will be chayv to pay the five shloim, like Rabbi Yochanan. Why says, don't bring me a rye from this case of Pidyon Shvuim. Shaini hasam de mishuba la midaraisa. This case is different because he's already Meshuba Midaraisa. So it sounds like the five slime is actually going for the Pidyon HaBen. Midaraisa, a father has an obligation to pay five silver coins for his son back. So since it's a Shiba Midraisa, so then if you write a shtar that I owe you 5 shlamim, that's going to be binding because there already exists such a Shiba between the two parties. But as it creating a new independent chiv, that wouldn't work with a shtar alone. Where it asks the obvious question. If we're talking about that he owes, says, I owe you 5 shlamim because the Shibud of the Pinyon HaBen, Ihachi, am I cause of, so why is he writing anything in the first place? He already has an existing Shibud to the Kohen. Why write anything in the first place that I owe you money? So the Gemara says, Kidei Levarir LaKohen. In order to shoot a Kohen, Rashi explains, Kidei Levarir LaKohen, Shelo Yinenu LaKohen Acher, to reserve his rights. He says, the father says to the Kohen, I'm going to give you money. The Kohen says, I don't really trust you so much. Could you just put that in writing for me so I have a security? So he says, sure, I'll put it in writing. But it doesn't really, it doesn't create a new chiv, it just solidifies that this Kohen's receiving this.
Right, he's going to say, I'm going to be boiling my son with you and nobody else. That's
exactly. Now, Tosus points out something interesting here. Tosus writes, Dibur Maschel Livro Lo Kohen. He writes on the document, in order to designate a Kohen to receive the money, he says, Afil b'makire kuhuna. Makire kuhuna, oftentimes they had a certain Kohanim who they'd support. If you had a field, so I like this one neighbor was my Kohen, we got along nicely with each other, he was my Kohen, and it's called Makire Kuna, it's recognized that he always gives his stuff to the Kohen. So even by Makire Kuna, one would have to live for the Kohen, Mari Dimistama Kanablo Ksiva. One would think that without Ksiva, you would have a binding relationship to the Makire Kuna, he would be getting the money. Kidemuchach Beshile Kalaget. Mil, even though you have that relationship with this Makir Kuna, Miutzarch Ksiva Dilolahaderbe. You still would have to write it down to reserve his rights to receive the money, the 5 shlamim, even though he's your Makir Kuna. Just a side point. So now going with the Gemara now, so he's not creating any Nuchiv here. He owes the 5 shlamim anyways. He only writes the IOU to solidify, to reserve the rights to the Kohen. So Ihachi, the Gemara asks the obvious question now. Ihachi beno amai eno padoy. So why is the son not being padoy? If the point is he's just writing a document to solidify the money that he already owes for the Pinyon HaBen, so when he gives the money, it should be padoy, the son.
So I know the other, whether he right. doesn't owe him or he does owe him.
So Gemara answers Kedula. Damar Ula says, Davar Torah padoy. Really, lichshite. Really, when he pays the money back, it will be padoy, the son. Umay taima amru. So why did the Chachamim say that the Pidyon will not be effective? There's a concern that maybe people might think that Sharos works. Now, in this case, there's no Shar. He just writes a document to say, I owe you, and when he gives 5 shlamim, that's the 5 shlamim that's going to be Podem. But people who have seen this arrangement think, oh, probably the document, the check, let's say, that he gave him initially, it was the check, it's the document that was the one that was Podem, when Sharos don't work. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Shema Yomu Poden, one might say that you could be Poden as a Bechor, Bishtarichov. You could use a document that somebody owes me money, here I'm going to be Poden my son with that document. Sheyeshlo al Acher, Umasal a Kohen Befidiono, tries to redeem his son from the Kohen by giving this document of someone else owes me money. The Us the Memer, Mali Haishar, Mali Haishar. Person's going to say, when you wrote the initial IOU, what's the difference in the IOU than the other document that you could collect from the other party? They're both Sharos. And the Gemara continues to, Rashi continues to explain, V'anan t'nan maseches b'choros, the mission b'choros tells us, in the 8th parak, Ein podin lo b'avadim, v'lo b'sharos, v'lo b'karkos. You cannot do pinin haben, not with avadim, not with documents, and not with karka. So for that reason, any type of deal with documents, with sharos, they said doesn't work for pinin haben. It's all a gzera. But meikar din, when a person writes such a document, it is binding because it's working off an already existing shibud of the 5 shlamim. Mar now says, Amar Rava Kitanai. It's really Machlokas Tanai in this discussion about writing an IOU in a shtar. What's the case? The Braisa says, in Arev, Hayote Acher Chitum, Sharos, a cosigner who writes after the signatures of the shtar. So what happens is there's a document and they have signatures. Later on, they want a cosigner. So the cosigner writes below the Edom. So what's the halacha? Sharos, Govim, Nichasim, B'nei Charon. You could collect from the Bnei Charon.
No, Arev Hayotze Achar Chitum Sharos, Govim Nechasim Bnei Charon.
Right. So Rashi explains, like we just said, Lachar Chitum HaSharos, Tachas Chasimas HaEdim, below where the Edim sign on the document, Kasa Ploni Arev. Then they say, oh, there's a co-signer, in case the lower doesn't pay up, the Arev is going to pay instead.
This is done after the whole transaction.
Exactly. Humoda Badavar and the Arev said, I'm completely on board for this, I'll put my name on there, I have no problem backing up the lower. Then to what's the halacha? Rashi explains that govim nechasim b'nei charon hamalvim ha'ariv. If the lover defaults and he doesn't pay, the malva could go ahead and collect from the ariv. V'lovim nechasim shubadim. He can only collect from the available properties of the ariv, but he cannot collect from any properties the ariv may have sold. Kevin dilachachidim hashtarhu havi lekimalva alpe kimilva alpe. Since the co-signer wrote after the document was already filed away, it's as if it's a milva alpe. In other words, the reason why milva alpe. You cannot collect from a shubadim. Let's say Harry, you know, agrees to lend me some money. So we have a verbal agreement here. And I go ahead and sell my property. So if I don't pay back, he can't collect the property because the guy who bought my property says, I had no idea that someone had a lien on my property. There was no shtar, there was no title, nothing. There's no title search wouldn't pick up. So the milva peh only has the rights to collect from my available properties, but something that I sold he couldn't collect because it's not fair to the lokeh. So this case where the document was already filed away, and then afterwards, the co-signer wrote his name on that. So people who don't know that the document had a co-signer on it, because the co-signer went after the document went public. So it's not fair. So when you collect from the co-signer, you can only collect from his available properties, right, not from the properties that he sold off. Right. So that being the case, so that's all according, that's the first part of this brisa. That again, let's read, Arev Hayote Achar Chitam, the co-signer who signs after the Edim signer on the document. Chitim Sharos. Gova Mitnuchasim Binecharon. They're only allowed to collect from the available properties of the Arif. Maisa Balafne Rabbi Yishmael. Once such a case happened and it presented itself in front of Rabbi Yishmael, Amar, Rabbi Yishmael Paskin, Gova Mitnuchasim Binecharon, like we just said, you can only collect from the co-signer's available properties.
So this is a proof to. This goes against Rabbi Yochanan.
This goes against. Well, we know actually supports Rabbi Yochanan because you're allowed to collect from property. It's a binding chiyuv, even though there's no signature.
We're going on the fact that it's allowed to collect property, but not the fact that you cannot collect from
the shubadim is a side point, a technical. Okay. The fact that you could collect any property at all tells us that the fact that he signed his name, and there are no edim who were signed after the co-signer, but he obligated himself on his own in a contract that is binding like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel, so, but Amar lo Benanis comes along and says, "Eino gova lo b'nichasim b'nicharon v'lo b'nichasim shubadim." You can't collect anything at all from these people because we're holding that, like Reish Lakish, that an IOU and a shtar is not binding at all. So Amar lo lama. So Rabbi Shmuel wants to know, what's your reasoning? Why is it not binding? Why can't you collect from the b'nicharon of the arev? Amar lo haresha yachonik es chaver b'shuk. A guy is choking a guy in the marketplace. Umatzu chaver, and his friend finds him choking. Amar lo harnech lo, leave him down, put him down. V'ani eiten lecha, I'll give you money. So Pater shohal munuaso havau. He didn't lend it because he wanted to. He wanted to send his friend to help his friend live. So the co-signer didn't want to see his friend fall bad. So he wanted to, I'll write my name on the document, give the bank some assurance, so everything's going to be fine. But he wasn't really sincere about having to back up his friend. So you can't trust him. If only there were Adam who signed on it, that shows that he was really giving in. That Ari was really willing to co-sign. But if there are no Adam who signed afterwards, the co-signer is not willing to really back him up. So the Gemara says, and now that we have this machlokus about the co-signer, Lema Rabbi Yochanan Damar Rabbi Shmuel. Just like Rabbi Shmuel says, if the co-signer signs below the Edim, it's a obligation of the Ariv. Like Rabbi Yochanan says, an obligation, an IOU and a shtar, is a chiv. And Reish Lakish Damar Kaben Nanas, that both of them say, one is not chayv at all to pay if you write an IOU and a shtar if there are no Edim. The Gemara says, no. In the world of Benanas, who says that the co-signer doesn't have to pay anything, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees, then you would be pater from paying. One second here. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Ki pligi, when do they argue? When does Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan argue about an IOU and a shtar? Kipligi aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. In the world of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel says when the co-signer signs below the Edim, he does obligate himself. So in that case, Rabbi Yochanan k Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Yochanan says also in the case of an IOU, the same idea, if a person obligates himself to pay money in the document, he would owe money, like Rabbi Shmuel says by the case of the co-signer. He obligates himself by writing in a shtar. But Reish Lakish says no. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shmuel hasam el de shayach leli shibuda de raisa. Only by the case of the Arev is one obligated to pay if he writes in a shtar, because that's shayach to a din deraisa. Aval hacha lo shayach shibuda deraisa. Here, in IOU, on a document, there's no shibuda deraisa. So what's this referring to? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, top line, ki pligi v'chule, Klomer ha demokmis Reish Lakish kebenanis v'lo kebishmal lesa. I think even in the world of Rishmal, I would say in my case you're potter for an IOU and a shtar. Why an Arev is a Shibud deraisa of Al Hacha Ploni Chayv Leka Shibud deraisa. An Arev, the previous Rashi tells us based on Psukim Vani Arevenu that I'm going to be a cosigner, it's a Pasuk in Bereishis. That's referring to, I think, when Yehuda said, I'm going to bring down Binyamin, don't worry, I'll be their cosigner. Yeah. I'm going to ensure that he's going to come back. So, a concept of an Arev, a concept of a cosigner, is a din deraisa. So, by din deraisa, Rabbi Shmuel says one can obligate himself by being a cosigner in a shtar. An IOU in a shtar, there's no deraisa, there's no Torah basis for this. So, therefore, one cannot obligate himself unless there are edim hachasumim al shtar. And that's the machlokas within the world again of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, the Gemara now says, Gufa. Amar of Gidal Amarav, Kama ata notein levincha kach vakach. This is what we spoke about before the shtar psikta, that when the father of the kachas and the father of the kala agree to make arrangements, how much are they going to support their children? They finally get married. This is the prime example of something that is going to be nicknamed b'amira, because the shtar is not binding, because we said there's no kinin that took place, but they had this verbal agreement that was written in the shtar. Eventually, it's the verbal agreement that's going to be binding. So Amar Rava Mistavra Milsa de Rav Bitonara. It's seemingly that this situation where it's binding is only by a case of a bita who's a nara. Why? The kamata hanol liade. Since the husband, the father rather, is the one who's going to receive the kes of kedushin as a nara, he's getting hana. So there, since he's getting hana, he's willing to be gomer das and support his daughter. Aval, but if it's a case of Bogeres, if she's older than 12 and a half, and she's independent, and she's receiving the Kesef Kedushin, and the father receives no money, lo, it shouldn't work, because what is going to get the father to support his wife, his daughter, he only if he gets a no out of this. Person's not going to do Gemir's Das, of willing to be mocking something, unless he's receiving something in return. People just don't give matanas for free. So, it must be only in a case of a Kesef Kedushe Nara. Melakim, what do you mean? I'm a Rav of Filu Bogeris. Rav says, even in a case of a Bogeris, where she's older and there is no money going back to the father, this such a case is still binding. What's his Raya? Dilo Temach, if you don't say it applies even to Bogeris, so Avi Haben my Hana Asli Ade. Avi Haben, the father of the son gets no Hana at all. But yet, everyone agreed, and there's no circumstance where the father of the son is ever receiving money. Yet we still saw that the shtar psikta is effective, even from the perspective of the father, the son's father. So we see it's nothing to do with Hana.
They both say, I'm going to give such for the... Right. One, the father says to the father of the Kala says to the Chasan, and the Chasan says to the Kala.
Right.
But the money to the Chasan always goes to the Chasan.
But, no, and it's not even talking about that.
So what's
talking about the Kesef Kedushin. The money is going to the children. The parents receive nothing.
Right.
So why are they willing to give anything up? They're not receiving any Hana from this.
Okay.
How do you know there's Gemir's Das? We only know if there's Hana for someone, if they're willing to do Gemir's Das. So if I give him a Tana to Harry, let's say, only because I like him, I have a good relationship with him, so that Hana by me giving him a Tana...
You mean the Shavu Pruta?
Yeah, the Shavu Pruta. So initially the Gemara thinks, why would the fathers ever give any money to the children? You know, if you think back very, they're off on their own. They're 12, they're 18, they're out of the house. Go, you want to live in my house, pay me rent. But you're off on your own other than that.
Okay.
So why would anyone give their children any money? So Gemara initially thinks it has to be where the father of the katana, of a nara, rather, because the nara is the kes of kedushin, the shava pruta, goes to the father. Oh, so the nara I get, the little kes of, now I'm willing to give my daughter money. I'll support her since I got that hana. The Gemara says it can't be only by a katana. Because look at the perspective of the chassan's father.
Right.
The chassan's father never gets any money at all, yet he's still willing to give money to his children to support them. So we see it's not limited to that. So now we have to figure out, so it's even a gedol, even a bogeris, where there's no hana to the father, also will be effective.
We'll
but what's?
Finding, right?
But where's the hana? Where's the gemir's das that the parents are willing to give the money over to the children? So the Gemara says, Ella b'ahi hana de kimechasne ahadade. That hana that their children are getting married off is enough hana for them to be willing to be gomer das and to give money to their children.
That's what you said, that it's a kesef and it's midraisa, according to
It's according to the Chazon Ish, he thinks that Hana translates into Kesef, and it's the Kesef, Kesef, Kinyan Kesef that's at play here. They call the Chazon Ish on that, or? I don't know. Okay. By the way, this is not to be this is usually we have been viewing marriages throughout what we've been learning together as a very business-like relationship. This is the first time that I am familiar with that the parents actually are happy when their children are married off. Like, just nothing to do with business, no money. Well, the kids are married, they're very happy about this. Now, certainly that's the case nowadays, but you don't get that impression so much from the Gemara, as it seems very business-like. Okay. The Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi, Dvar Halalu, these things, what are these things? So let's see, let's finish the question here. Nitnu li kasef alo nitne li kasef. Which things are we talking about? The parents. The parents said, okay, I'll pay $1,000 a month.
Right.
We'll help pay the rent, we'll pay the food. Yeah. Those obligations, they're willing to. Are you able to write them down? Now, there's only a verbal agreement, but maybe you can write them down just to have, you know, certainty, or you shouldn't write these things down. So Rashi explains, if you go to the top narrow line of Rashi here, the last word is nitnu likasev. Nitnu chachamim ksiva ledavar, im bo lehachtim, edim dvar mahalalu shein belokinim. So these things, which were, they had agreement, a verbal agreement, but there's no kinin, do the Chum allow you to write this down now and have Adam sign it to really solidify such an agreement? Or Rashi says, Lo nein lukasev, de lo litra fim shabde. The concern is, now if we write a document, then if we don't pay, if one party doesn't pay up, then it's possible that the children have the right to collect from any mishubadim, any properties the father had sold off to somebody else. Became the leka kinin lo mishabde nichse. But there's no kinin. The only time the kinin works, the only time in Shubadim there's a lien of the property is if there's a kinyan between the fathers. But there's no kinyan here. It was just an agreement. So you can't, you should not write the information down in a document because it might lead them to collecting the money that was owed to the children from the Mishubadim, which is not really right. So the answer is, Amalei lo nitna likasev. You can't write them down. And there's hopefully a good relationship between the two fathers that they'll stand by the word of giving the children what they promised. Ask the Gemara Isive, Hapikkan, this is the last line of the end of our Mishnah, of yesterday's Mishnah, Hapikkan, how you call Sunam Nashaz, and Nesbitcha, Chameshanim, Kozman, Shat, Imi. So we spoke about if the husband, the wife remarries, and she has a daughter already, and her new husband says, I'm agreeing to pay your daughter 5 years. And then they get divorced, and she remarries somebody else, or even if she doesn't remarry somebody else, that husband, who's now the ex-husband, has to continue to pay the 5 years term to support. So the Mishnah says, if a person is a smart husband, he should say, I will be willing to pay the 5 years to your daughter so long as we're married. So the Gemara says, Kozman shatat imi, my kosfin. So what writing are we talking here? Vikarle Amira. So is that my kosfin? Omrim. So when we say here kosfin, is it not referring to Omrim? So Gemara says, Vikarle Amira ksiva. Wait a second. If we ever refer to Amira as Ksiva, the Mishnah says Kosfin. How are we able to now interpret it to be Amira? Do we ever find such a case that Ksiva has been called Amira? The Gemara says, and we do have this, we saw this before, that Vatnan HaKosev Lisha Din V'Dvarim Ein Li B'Nichsech. If you write to your wife, I have nothing to do with any of your dealings. V'Tani Rabbi Yechia HaOmer Lisha. It really means if you say it to your wife, I'm not talking about writing it down. So initially here we say, what was the question? The question was, we paskin that when a person has a verbal agreement, you cannot write it in a document. Here we said that the husband and the wife have an agreement that he'll pay the daughter 5 years. So what should you do? The Mishnah says the idea is, the Eitz HaTovah is to write down that I'll only pay you 5 years for 5 years as long as we're married. So there's a case of writing it down, what they agreed upon. Mark says, no, it doesn't mean write it down. It says that when you say that you're going to pay her money, say it only as long as we're married. That's what we get out of it.
You write it down without Adim, which is like saying, but...
You write it down without Adim.
Which is like saying, basically.
Right, right, exactly. You write down that Adam. Mar now says, Tashma, Ein Kosin Shtari Erusin V'Nisun El Midas Shneim. When a person writes the documents of the Erusin, the Shtar of the Nisun, you could only write it with the consent of both parties. Ha Midas Shneim, if you do have the consent of both parties, then Kosin, one's allowed to. So, my Lav Shtar Psikta is not referring to Shtar Psikta. that even though there's a verbal agreement, one is allowed to write them on a document to solidify this information. So it's again to a passing above. Above we said that one may not write this stuff on a document. And the Gemara says, no, not talking about sharp shikta. It's not referring to what they had as a verbal agreement. Now they're turning into a formal shar. That's not what we're referring to. We're talking about shtari erusin mamish. Mamish shtari erusin. Kidera papa of shravya ditmar kasu lishma vishlo midas. Let's say you write to the erusin lishma for the chasin of the kala, but it's not in the das. She doesn't know about this. What's halacha without her das? Rabba Ravina Amri Mikudeshes, Rapapa Rav Shravya Amar Ein Mikudeshes. It doesn't work. You cannot write the Shar without her document. Meaning, but this has nothing to do with Shar Pik Sikta, nothing to do with verbal agreements that are being transformed into documents. This is talking about a Shar Erison, completely different topic. So just to look at Rashi, what's written in the Shar Erison, Mamish Rashi explains, Shar Shemakadesh Bas Aisha. A document that a man writes to a girl, I'm going to marry you, Harei Amakudesh Li, Kosab Ashtar, Umoshla, he writes it, he's too nervous to say it there, will you marry me? He'd rather give it over to her as a document. Vashmin, and we learn from here, that Tzarech Lichtav Alpia, you can't just write it and hand it to her, you have to write it initially with her acknowledgement and consent, and then you can give it to her. Because her papa, Rav Shravya, Dami Kosab Shlomidaita, Ein Amakudesh. But nothing to do with our conversation about Shtar Pshikta at all. Then the Gemara brings another raya. Toshma. This is also from our Mishnah. I think from our Mishnah yesterday or... Yesterday's Mishnah. Mesu. So let's say the husbands die after agreeing to pay 5 years to the daughter, the stepdaughter. So Mesu, b'nosem nizonos minichasim b'necharim. So the daughters who now have the obligation, they're supposed to rather, they have a get to collect the 5 years left, whatever's left of the 5 years, they can only collect from the B'nai Chorin, the available properties of the stepfathers who died. V'hi, the widow now, Nizonas, Minichasim, Mishubadim, she collects from even the properties that were sold by the
I think it's
the men.
With the daughter of the widow.
Yeah, the daughter, the stepdaughter of the father. So the stepdaughters could only collect from B'nai Chorin, as opposed to the widow could collect even from the Mishubadim of the father, the husband who passed away. Because she's a Baal Eschov. What does that mean? Rashi says she Baal Eschov v'lo dinikita shtar mitrafa mishavdei. And if she doesn't have a shtar showing that she's owed money, she wouldn't have a right to collect from the mishavdim. So it must be a case where she has a shtar. So what do we learn from here, though? Well, how do we bring this into this case?
We're saying that the only reason why she can collect from the Shkantim Mishubadim is because there must be something, a shtar. And if in that case, then it shows you that you're allowed to write a shtar. We just said that you're not allowed to write a shtar.
So this time, which shtar of what?
Where he says that he's going to sustain his daughter. Her daughter.
So we're talking about the shtar for the daughters, the shtar for the wife.
I'm telling you, I think it's talking about the daughter of the wife, not the wife, it's herself.
Well, that's Benoseinu. Benoseinu is the daughters, and he is referring to the widow.
No, he is the daughter of the widow.
The daughter gets support for.
Oh, so Benoseinu, who's Benoseinu then?
That's his regular kid.
His biological daughters.
Right, biological daughters.
Ah, okay. So he, Nizona, is referring to the stepdaughter, she has the right to collect it. Well, how could she collect Mishubadim? Must be she has a shtar. So we see that you can transfer the verbal agreement into a formal shtar. So the Gemara says, no, it's talking about a case where they made a kinyan. It wasn't our case up until now. I've been talking about verbal agreements without kinyanim. That you can transform into a shtar. But if there's a kinyan miyado, they made a kinyan, they made a kinyan chalibin or something, then certainly one can write in a shtar. See, Hachi, that's the case. So, if we're saying that his stepdaughter had a kinyan, so why not say his actual biological daughter also had a kinyan? So again, Hachi, Benos Nami. So, Gemara says, no, Bishkan Lazu, Vlokan Lazu. No, happened to be. He made a kinyan, he shook hands, or he had a kinyan chalipin with the stepdaughter, but didn't have a kinyan chalipin with his own daughters. That happened to be the case. If there was a kinyan with his daughters, they would also be able to collect from the Mishubadim. And if there wasn't a kinyan with the stepdaughter, then she wouldn't be able to collect from the Mishubadim. So my Pascha. So why make such a difference, I guess?
Why would you say that the stepdaughter
had a kinyan
and their biological daughters wouldn't?
So ihi dehavi b'shas kinyan mahanila. because the stepdaughter who was alive during the marriage, because it was from the previous marriage, so there was a kinyan for her. Benos, l'habi b'shas kinyan, the benos were only born after his marriage. They weren't there during the ksuba and stuff in the tanaim. Lo mahani l'kinyan, there it doesn't work. There's no kinyan to be made. So milo askinyan l'habi b'shas kinyan. How do you know? So who knows that maybe he also had children from a previous marriage, biological children from his previous marriage. So maybe they also. So we say across the board that his daughter, biological daughters, never get to collect the mishubadim. Well, why not? How do you know? So if he was divorced from a previous marriage and had children and got remarried, those biological daughters are present during the kinyan, so that they should have the same rights as the stepdaughters. So it can't be the case of a kinyan miyado.
It seems that it's talking that he divorced her.
Oh, the same wife.
And then he married her again.
Okay.
So he married two women.
Yes.
He married one, had kids, divorced her, and took her over. Those were his biological
exactly.
kids. And then he also married another woman who had a kid that wasn't his.
And in which case we could find that he had biological children, b'shas kinyan of the
right.
new marriage. So why can we say so? Why do those biological daughters lose out? So that cannot be the explanation. So Ella, the Gemara says, Ihi. She, the stepdaughter who's not involved in the Tanai Bezdin, so she doesn't have, for her, it works. What does that mean? Rashi explains, Tanai Bezdin binin nukvin to having lichim minayu. So, I thought we said the daughters of the wife, the stepdaughters, are involved in the Tanai Bezdin.
Yes, not.
Okay. So he's only obligated to pay his actual daughters for the Tanai Bezdin. So again, Ihi, the stepdaughter, the less of the Tanai Bezdin, that is not, there's no Tanai Bezdin to protect the stepdaughters. Amari le kinin for her, so the kinin works, because she had nothing before him. But Benos, the Tanai Bezdin, but his actual daughters, which are part of the Tanai Bezdin, as we just saw in the Rashi, that he has an obligation to continue to support his own daughters. So for them, the low money of the kinin. So for them, a kinyan is not effective. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, Migra Guria, making a kinyan would be worse? So yes, ain't a chanami that the father has an obligation to support his biological daughters, and if he were to make a kinyan to make the obligation stronger, that she could even collect from the Shabbatim, that would not work for them? That would make things worse? Of course it would work also. So it can't be talking about a kinyan
miyado. I think that the point is more that the fact that Bezdin, did a kinyan Bezdin for them. Would that hurt her? How could you say that that's going to hurt her chances of getting a regular kinyan?
I think the Tanai is going to hurt.
Right.
How could that prevent the kinyan miyado from working?
I think that Bezdin is trying to help them. That Tanai Bezdin hurt them by the fact that they cannot do a kinyan.
Yes, yeah, okay, that's what it says. Yeah. So certainly, in the case of the biological daughter, kinyan miyado should work as well. So the Gemara says, Ella, what's going on here? What's the situation where the stepdaughters have rights to collect mishabadim and the biological daughters do not have the right? Ella benosav hainu taima kamen disnayo b'tanai bezdin emer tsari ataf sinu. Since it's part of Tanai Bezdin that the father has the obligation to support his biological children, we say that tsara ataf sinu, literally, there's a bag of all this money that was stored away. What does that mean? Rashi explains, Sara Ataf Sinu, Lifnei Moso, Maser Lehem, Tsaros Kasafim Limizinosem. We assume that before he died, he knew he was dying, he was on his deathbed, he makes sure to give a pouch of money to his children, to his daughters, to ensure that they would get supported. So since we assume that may have happened, we don't want them to hide it anywhere, so we don't let them collect from Mishubadim. That seems to be what's going on here.
Right, because since there's chash that they already have the money, then they cannot go to nefesim meshubadim because they would be
double dipping.
Right,
but if they collect them minechasim bnei chorin, which is their property anyway, bnei chorin goes to yorshin.
Right.
So
and for the daughter of the daughter that's not biological, I would say he would never put away that money because
right exactly
he's not interested.
Okay, should we keep going? What time is it? 6:50? Should we go to the top of the next page?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Gemara now says the two dots, Lo Yoma HaRishon. So this is according from the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that what? The Rishon shouldn't say, when after the wife gets married, has a child, she gets divorced, let's say, or widowed. She gets married to husband two, let's call him. He obligates himself to pay for 5 years. Then he gets divorced. She marries somebody else. Right. Husband, let's call him two, even though it's number one here, but it's really her second husband. Her ex-husband says, I know I owe her money, but if she wants to get money, she could come to me to collect money. I'm not sending her money. So the Mishnah says, the Rishon, this, what we'll call the second husband, though, cannot say this. Rather, he has to send her the mizonos that he obligated to pay. So Gemara says, now, Amar Chista Zosemeres, this comes to teach us that Bas Eitzel Ima, that the daughter stays with the mother. Rashi explains, Zosemeres Bas Eitzel Haim, around 20 lines up, the Katani the Makom Sheima, it says, send to the place where the mother is. V'lo Katani the Beis Achia, maybe she's staying by her brother's house. Why by her mother's house? Lamanu shekein huadin shetiskada habas eitzel ima. That's the way things should be. That the daughter is raised by her mother. Ubas hanizonos bein habanim zanin osam mibeis ima bein kofin osal adur etzlam. So that's, I guess you're telling us how much it's derech eretz, the way things work. That the daughter always stays with the mother.
Where did it say that it was by the mother?
The Mishnah says rather molich la mizonosel lemakum sheima with an aleph, with her mother. Okay, so it's like, is it the din of Derech Eretz? What should be proper?
So this is the case where she had siblings. And now the Yisoyimim are of an obligation. The father died, and the Yisoyimim are of an obligation to feed their sister. So they cannot tell her, listen,
we're supporting you. You come work for us.
Right. You're supporting us as long as you're with us. But if you're by our mother, then we're not supporting
you. So we say here that you're supposed to, she stays with the mother.
Right.
So they quote here why. They quote a Rashi that says, to teach her derech tznius. That's why. That's the purpose. So it's a halacha. It's not just stam. That's what women do. It's really teach them derech tznius. So Gemara says, "Mimai de begadola askinan." How do you know we're talking about a daughter who's a gadola? Maybe dilma begatan askinan u'mishim maisa shaya. Maybe it's talking about a young girl, and for the following reason. But maybe a gadola could be off on her own, living in an apartment in the Upper West Side on her own, as it says. What's maisa shaya? Mishim maisa shaya. A person who dies and leaves over a son, a little boy, to his mother. The Yerushav Omrim, the inheritors of the father, are saying, Omrim Yehi Gadol Etzlenu, let him grow, you know, we'll raise him by us. Vimo Omeres Yehi Buno Bini Gadol Etzlenu. No, he's my son. What do you mean? Just because you're the uncle, you're going to raise him? I'm raising him. He's my son. Menichan also Etzel Ima. We place him. He obviously is being raised by his mother. Vimanichan also Etzel Rai Yerushav. And we don't send them over to those who are going to be inheriting the father. So Maisha Haya, Vishachtu, so that's just, that is part of the Maisha still.
Yeah.
Second?
Yeah, it's part of the Maisha.
Okay. The Maisha Haya, Vishachtu, Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi explains, Maisha, Mishim Maisha Shaya, Vikla Mecha Shanah Mishem Yargu, Vishul Liyarish Isr Nechasim Shela, Vagadola Delol Chayshin Litzicha Imalo Dechateshiv Eitel Haachin. Okay, so what's going on here is they killed him. They killed the son here. Wow. Yeah. So they killed the son here. And we can see how bad, you know, family feuds could get when it comes to money. So for that reason, we are concerned, Rashi says, but only by a katana or a katan where they're, you know, they're young and vulnerable. And so then we don't let them be by the yorshim. But maybe a gadola where she's independent, she's strong-minded, she can stand her ground against her brothers and other yorshim. If that's the case, if we're only referring to a katana, only a katana that's by the mother, but a gadola doesn't have to be by the mother, imkain listen lemakom shehi. The Mishnah should have just said wherever she is, wherever the daughter is, whether it be by the mother's house or by the brother's house, send it to her. My lemakom sheima. Why did it say to the mother's house? Shmasmina bas etzel haim lo shna gadola lo shna katana. Tell us where the daughter should always be with the mother, whether she's a katana, whether she's a gadola. And the reason being, as we just saw before in Rashi, at least we quoted in Rashi from elsewhere, that in order to teach her the proper tznius. Okay, so we'll stop here. Okay. And have a good Shabbos. Okay. Okay, now I can turn this off here. Here we go.